Fan Run Radio presents The Voluntary Reaction. You've watched the game. Now, let's talk about it. To get on board, call 865-546-8200. This is The Voluntary Reaction. Raw, unfiltered, real. The Voluntary Reaction starts now.
All right, Tennessee escapes with a win. It's hard to win a Memorial, buddy. It's hard to win a Memorial. 70-58. Apologies to everyone that got in on the spread when it was 12.5 at the very end. Ouch. Ouch. Tennessee with another big Victor Bailey game. Who would have thought? Victor Bailey, the alpha of the team. He carried himself like the alpha. Kept shooting. Last week, I believe it was it last Tuesday or two Tuesdays ago? Or what, you know, Wednesday, whatever the midweek game was, where we talked about how we kind of admire Victor Bailey for not having a conscience and keep shooting.
When he shot 1 of 8 that night?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was about 2 weeks ago, I think.
2 for 12, whatever the hell he shot. Yeah. 1 of 8 from 3. We said we admire him for continuing to shoot the ball. He didn't lose his confidence. And, you know, he's been Tennessee's best player the last 3 games. Another big game for him tonight. You know, if you wouldn't have had him, if you didn't have him playing the way he played tonight, Tennessee would have lost that game, despite Vanderbilt being without their two best players. Two guys that are probably NBA players, I would say. How do you say the big guy's name?
Dessou.
I mean, when you're as big as he is and can shoot the three, you're going to be an NBA player probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Victor Bailey shot 2 of 10 from the field against Georgia. Yeah.
That was 2 weeks ago, then, I believe. Against LSU, played terrible too. Only had 12 minutes. But since then, he has responded with 29 points against South Carolina, with 18 against Kentucky, and then tonight with 21 points. And you played a very, very bad Vanderbilt team. That Vanderbilt team isn't good already. But then you take their two best players off the court. Like I said, two guys that are probably NBA players. Neither one of those guys will probably play the rest of the year. If I'm them, I'm good. Like, hey, this team sucks. I'm going pro. I'm out of here. But you needed all of Victor Bailey's points, it seemed like. And, you know, what else can you say about that game? It was still frustrating. Like, it's just this Tennessee's offense is broken, man. Like, it's not good. It's not good. Victor Bailey went 5 of 8 from 3. The rest of your team went 1 of 11. Did you hear me? 1 of 11 from 3 for everyone else.
Well, how many mid-range shots did we take tonight, John?
I don't know. I don't have the official count yet.
It seemed like about the normal amount.
Yeah. I mean, I know at one point, I want to say like at the beginning of the second half, they already had 12, I think was the number.
Oh, we're probably above average then.
I want to say we had 12. The Pons at the 5 lineup saved Tennessee tonight whenever Tennessee went small and started getting out and playing a little bit faster. That saved Tennessee. And I also thought Kumwa had some pretty good minutes.
Yeah, he did.
I think at this point, brace yourself. Kumwa's better than Fulkerson. He is. Tennessee needs to give Kumwa Fulkerson's minutes. That's how I feel.
Maybe if Fulkerson was coming off the bench already.
Yeah. I mean, I just mean his minutes. I'm not saying, like, put Kumwa in the starting lineup or whatever. Mm-hmm. Although, like, you know, we have talked about the dangers of starting small. I don't think you should start small. I think the small should be a change of pace. Mm-hmm. Like, we tried to start small against LSU and it didn't work. I always compare it to the Golden State Warriors. Like, they didn't play their death lineup the entire game. They played it when they needed a change of pace and they needed to make a big run. Like, they didn't start with Draymond at the center. They always had Zaza, Kevon Looney, someone out there to do it.
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, like, you didn't start that. And then you staggered your minutes the rest of the way. But when you needed to go to it, you went to it. And, like, that's what Tennessee should do. But I have zero issue if they want to put Kumwa on the starting lineup over Fulkerson. I think he deserves it, honestly. I thought Kumwah looked really good tonight. Drew a big charge, two dunks, just long, athletic. He's more athletic than Fulkerson. You might as well take advantage of his length. I mean, did you have any thoughts on this game? Jaden Springer adds in 20 points, 5 of 8 from the field, 10 of 10 from the free throw line. Both he and Bailey get into the 20-point range.
Keon was just brutal tonight.
Yeah, Keon was really bad. I'd hope that Keon would turn a corner whenever the Kentucky game happened, and he has not. He has been bad since then.
Six turnovers.
865-546-8200 if anyone wants to weigh in on the G3 Help Me hotlines. Keep an eye on the phones. I don't know how many people want to talk after that abysmal game. It's 11 o'clock. But we'll run through them. I assume we'll get at least three or four. We'll run through them. Keon, I'd hoped, had turned a corner. I hope they would unlock him. It has not been the case. Your bench, you know, what wrist? Which wrist is it on Josiah? Is it his right or left wrist? Do we know?
I don't know. But
okay.
What I'm assuming is if he was kind of a game-time decision against Kentucky and didn't play, it's probably his shooting wrist.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't know. I was going to say he shot one of six tonight and didn't look very comfortable out there.
It's
but
probably
still,
his left wrist.
He still had some hustle play, still grabbed some rebounds, still had some steals. He's obviously better than any other options you have coming off in that spot. Well, can I ask a question before we get to the phone lines? Why the hell was Drew Pember on the floor?
I asked that myself when I saw him in there.
Why the hell does Drew Pember have a scholarship? And I don't want to single him out, but like he's not an SEC player.
No, he's not.
Like I don't want to. Like he's a local kid, so I don't want to. You know, be careful with what
who
I say.
Who gives a damn?
Well, I don't want to bash somebody, but
I will.
You can bash them. That's fine. That's Hayden Wallen saying that, not me. But like, did Tennessee not need a scholarship this year?
Yeah.
Is that kind of why we didn't get like in the Mac McClung sweepstakes?
Yeah.
Did we kind of need one of those? Like we could have used a transfer. We could have used a
point guard. Yeah. Could have used a point guard.
You know, I'd take a James Daniel type.
Just somebody who could score.
That's what somebody can dribble a basketball and can get people shots. All right, let's go to the G3 Help Me hotline. So who we got up first, Hayden?
Matthew.
Matthew, thanks for joining the show. The floor is yours.
Hey, John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Hope you're well.
Doing great, man. Hey, I called in last week, and we talked a little bit about Victor Bailey and wanting more data on him because he's obviously been a really streaky shooter, and I think we can all agree that we need to continue to see more out of him. But I think the last three games, he's averaging double digits shooting. And I know this is Vanderbilt, and they're not a very good team, but I think we have argued about this for a little bit on the show before, but I really like the ability he brings right now starting offensively. I really like the idea that they talked about it in the game, and I don't know if Tennessee really has an alpha, somebody that you know can go and get, you know, a bucket, but I have a hot take that says if Bailey continues to shoot the way he is the last three games, going into March, this might be your alpha.
Oh no, I don't think that's a hot take, Matthew. I think that's just the right answer at this point. Like, you know, I think it was last week you called in after the South Carolina game and said that. I was like, it was one game sample. It slowed down a little bit, but he's done it for two more games since then, and it looks like he has found his stroke. And like you said, his confidence, the alpha mentality, that's always been there. He kept shooting whenever it wasn't falling, so he wants the shot. He has no problem getting shots up. And hell, that's more than I could say for most of the guys on this team.
Oh, no, I agree. And I think, you know, it stinks that, you know, he does shoot it even if he's not, you know, hot. But I do think going into March, right, like we talked about, if we're going to make any type of run, we need to see more from Bailey. And I'd love to see it because we know Keon and Springer are going to get their points. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that even on their worst nights, they're still going to go out and get 10, 12 points a game.
I know Springer will. I have my questions about Keon these days, to be honest.
Yeah. He's asked. I talked about it with a buddy tonight. Springer is an athletic guard for the NBA, but I'm not sure he's a pure shooter. But I'd say actually probably Bailey's a better shooter right now the last four games than he is. So,
yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, that's all I had tonight, guys. Hope y'all do safe, and go Vols.
Yep, appreciate the phone call. I think he meant Keon is an athletic NBA guard, not Jaden.
Yeah.
I think Jaden will struggle a little bit with his athleticism at the next level. He'll have to be more crafty. The Evan Turner type. maybe a little just Andre a little Miller, slower, old man.
Slower yeah,
little,
point guard,
little Andre Miller old man game type of thing. Mm-hmm. Use that butt, get in there, and you know, make some plays in the post. But you know, Keon's athleticism is his key, and you know, you saw tonight him attack the rim still. But it doesn't seem like points come easy for him.
Yeah, and there was a play, kind of. I think it was either the end of the first half or maybe the start of the second half. And we're out on a break, 2-on-1. Keon's driving down, and all he has to do is lay it in. Instead, he jump stops, hits a little mid-range from, like, right outside the block, bricks it.
Yep.
I'm like, unless, I mean, I see you afraid of a charge.
I know which play you're talking about, and but, you know, Springer did that early in the game and hit it. It was a he dribbled into the free throw line, pulled up with it for a contested mid-range jumper and hit it, and the announcer's like, oh, that's great basketball. Stop at the free throw line. Like, that's like when you're on, like, a 2-on-1 break or 3-on-1 break where you're not supposed to, like, go in for the charge either. Stop mm-hmm. at the free throw line. Usually you're supposed to pass it at that point, though, to a guy yeah. on a layup, not shoot the jumper. But I know what you're talking about with Keon. And like I said, it just doesn't seem like his points come easy.
Mm-hmm.
He has to work harder for his points, it feels like. With Springer, he's just kind of smooth. And Springer ends up on the free throw line a lot, and he hits them. You know, we can't really say the same for Keon. He has struggled at times from the free throw line. But, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt right now that, like, if you need a bucket, who you're going to. It is Victor Bailey. Like, whether or not that changes, if he cools off between now and the, you know, the tournaments, right now he's the guy you want shooting. 865-546-8200 if you want to join us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We appreciate White Claw for their promotional support. Please drink White Claw, and please drink White Claw responsibly. Only 100 calories, 8 delicious flavors. Find which one that you like the most. A black cherry got myself. Only 100 calories. Ditch the beer belly bloat. Like I said, we appreciate White Claw for their support. Cherokee Distributing locally.
Victor Bailey is better at the starting lineup, though.
No, he is.
No doubt about it. I don't know why.
It's confidence.
Yeah.
But I also think he's just better because he's hitting a shot right now. I think that's the key. Like, he wouldn't have gone to the bench had he been playing like this earlier in the year when he was starting.
Yeah.
I just think he's a streaky shooter. I think he's going to get hot. I think he's going to get cold. And, you know, he went through a really bad stretch, and he's coming up. He's heating up. He's going to get his averages up. I don't think it has anything to do with the starter or not. I don't think it does. Now, maybe he would tell you he feels more comfortable, more confident.
I think it hurt him that to just get benched for the freshman earlier in the year, just out of the blue, kind of. He wasn't playing great.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like he was playing bad enough to get benched, at least from an offensive standpoint. His defense was struggling a little bit. But, yeah, you know, he beginning of the year, I mean, if you look, I mean, only 8-7 against Cincinnati and Colorado, but, like, you know, 13, 15, 18, 18, 9 against Missouri, but 4 of 6 from the field. I mean, he was hitting shots.
And he started that game. We didn't start the freshman, both freshmen, until I can't even remember what game it was, but we didn't start him against Missouri.
16 against Alabama, 17 against Arkansas, 3 against Texas A&M. Like, that's when it kind of dropped off for him. Was that the first game he was coming off the bench? There might be something to your theory. Let me check to see if he was in that starting lineup. Against Texas A&M, he was coming off the bench. All right, the game before against Arkansas, was he starting or coming off the bench? Let's see. Here's the moment of truth. Does Victor Bailey need to be a starter? Nope, he had came off the bench against Arkansas. Went 5 of 9, 2 of 3 from 3, scored 17 points.
Did he start against Alabama?
Let me check.
That'd be the game before.
Yeah, let me check. That would be the game before because I'm trying to see like when the drop-off kind of started. He started against Alabama, went 4 of 14 from the field.
Yeah,
0 of 5 from 3. That was the game that got him put on the bench. Like, he scored 16 points but had, you know, 9 free throw attempts.
It was also a first loss. I feel like Barnes just wanted to shake it up after that first loss.
Yep, I would say that you are correct. That's also, yeah, I guess I was going to say Springer only had 5 minutes, but that's the game he sprained his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the first game you realized like how important Springer was, I think. Fulkerson, I mean, there's no hope for him turning anything around this year, right?
Doesn't appear to be.
Tweeter writes in, any chance Barnes actually takes a step back and changes some things on offense in the 2 weeks we have off before the SEC tournament?
Nope.
I mean, I think he's been playing the same type of offense for the last, you know, 15 years. I'd be really surprised if he changed it in the next 2 weeks. And, you know, honestly, I don't know what he would change it to. What do you change it to if you're Rick Barnes? Like, I know that, like, they're not – you know, we talked today on Talk Sports. Like, they're not shooting enough at the rim or from three. They're shooting too many mid-range jumpers, which is funny that we say that. And then, you know, tonight, you know, the team was 1 of 11 from three. This team just can't shoot. They just can't shoot. It's pitiful, but they can't. Now, you know, I think Springer should get more than 2 3-point attempts.
Yeah.
Even Keon should have more than 1 3-point attempt.
I don't know, man.
No? You don't think so?
I didn't even remember the one that he had tonight, but I just remember the one from the Kentucky game, which maybe that's just a bad game, but they were some bricks. Like, they didn't even hit the rim on two of them.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember hitting a couple against LSU in that first
half.
He did,
kind of
get going and didn't miss one against Georgia. I still think he needs to attempt it, though. But, yeah, he's got a little he's not as good as college Dwayne Wade. But, like, that's kind of how he wants to play, is just mid-range and get to the rim, not shoot any threes. 865-546-8200. If you want to hop on. We can give our takes tomorrow. I don't have to be here tonight. Twitter wrote back in. He means letting the freshman and Bailey eat more and less Folky. Well, I mean, I feel like that's already changed, man. Like, Folky
had two shots. No.
Like, Folky ain't eating. Like, I mean, Folky's not getting. Yeah, he's not even shooting the ball. Right? I mean, he's not even shooting.
Yeah, two shots tonight. Maybe both of them.
Yeah, he's 2 for 2. But, like, we're not feeding him at all. Which, I mean, I'm not saying that Tennessee should. I'm just saying that's already changed as far as I'm concerned. That changed during the Kentucky game. I mean, Fulkerson got 7 shot attempts against Kentucky, I guess, on Saturday, but I didn't feel like that was like an emphasis that they had, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of worked its way out.
Yep.
Against South Carolina, had 12. Played good against South Carolina, though. Right, against South Carolina, he had 19 points that game.
South Carolina's trash.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't think, even in those games, like I said, I know Fulkerson had those shot attempts, but I didn't feel like he was, like, the focal point at all in those games, or they were even forcing him anything. Against LSU, when he came off the bench, I mean, he came in and had, like, 5 shot attempts, but 2 of them was in the first minute of being on the court. I think Bailey will become the go-to guy. I mean, you've already seen that. He's already kind of been the focal point of the offense. As far as the freshmen go, like, I don't know what you can do to try to get Keon going. Like, I've asked for, you know, just let's run a couple simple, pick and rolls. Let's try to get him going downhill on the rim. Tennessee doesn't seem to want to do that. They want to get him coming off screens at the elbow and such. Let's go back to the phones. Who we got?
Robbie.
Robbie, thanks for joining us on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
What up, bro? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Robbie. How are you?
Oh, dude, I'm doing all right. Are we on we're strictly on app, right? We're not on radio?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, dude, no. I'm smoking a blunt right now. I'm just settling in for the night after this. Just, I don't even know what to call it, man. Like, and hold on. Just one point real quick. You and Seth shit on VJ. And ever since that pod, he's just gone off,
it's
man.
True.
Like,
it's true. We talked about Victor Bailey.
No, I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, we talked about him being a liability. You know, I mocked his confidence for continuing to shoot, and he told me to go to hell. He's been draining him ever since.
Why the fuck was Drew Pember on the court in the first half?
In a close game. Like, in a close game, it wasn't like Tennessee was up big at that point. I don't know why he was.
He got a 3 drained right in his face. He just put his arm up. He didn't even do anything. He just like, oh, yep, whatever. I don't give a shit.
That's exactly what I said. I said that shit put right in your face right when you go in.
He was probably just like, really, coach? You want me to come in?
Yeah.
You want me in?
That's what I was. I mean, I was more pissed at Barnes than I was at Pember. But also, Muscovy is so fucking slow, man. Like, it's like he lost a step from last year or something. And we don't even need to get into the fact that he picks his dribble up every other fucking time. That's over and done with. But you know, and
we thought we might be getting Manu Ginobili. We got the last year of Manu Ginobili with the Spurs when he was washed. That's what Viscovi looks like right now.
Nah, bro. What you're getting right now is taking one step in front of the 3-point line and shooting a fucking 2-point jumper that is ridiculous. Oh, I mean, how many mid-range jumpers did we shoot tonight?
I don't have Will's official count yet. I'll keep an eye on it. He's going to crunch the numbers. I don't know if he'll do it tonight or in the morning. But like I said, I know at the beginning of the second half, I think we already had shot 12. So I'd be curious to see what the final number is on that.
All right. So what do you expect in the rest of the year?
I mean, I expect to struggle against every team, basically. Like, there are no more gimmies for Tennessee, as far as I'm concerned, on their schedule. Like, Auburn on Saturday, down on the plains. Like, at this point, I probably think Auburn's gonna beat our head in.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw some money on that towards Auburn.
I don't know. Cooper didn't play tonight, so he might not play this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, and down here, like in Jacksonville, like the sports talk radio down here, because it's Jaguars radio, right? But they talk about, you know, Florida shit too, and all I heard about was how Florida whooped up on Auburn. I'm like, their best player didn't play. Like, what? Yeah. I mean, exactly. It's ridiculous. But, I'll let you go, man. I'll actually, I'll be talking to you tomorrow. I'm doing trivia against Team Draven. So.
Oh, nice. Talk to you tomorrow.
Team Draven.
Yeah, man.
Team Draven. Wow, shots fired at Team Haven and Hayden.
Haven, Draven, Hayden, whatever it is, man.
It's Hayden, because I'm the one carrying the team.
Get out of here. I appreciate you, Robbie.
Hayden, I know that you're the one carrying the team, so we're just going to mono e mono, just me and you, man.
That's what it's going to be. Draven won't get one question right.
Appreciate the phone call, Robbie.
All right, guys. See ya.
We got somebody else ready to get on the G3 Help Me Hotlines.
Yeah, we got Don.
Don! What's up, Don? The floor is yours.
Hey, guys. Well, let's see. I suffered through there a couple hours of basketball. I was trying to figure out what we were doing. You know, I can bring up everything that everybody else is, but I'll just talk about a couple of bright spots in addition to Bailey and Springer putting points on the board. Pons had a double-double. We needed that. And I thought one of the best plays all night was when Pons drove for the dunk.
Yep.
They had three players there, and they all decided, no, I'm not.
All right, Don.
I
like the optimism because, yeah, that was a question we had about Pons and his athleticism and his injury. It does seem like the knee issue is gone for Pons. So, good point by you. The double-double was nice. Anytime you grab 10 rebounds in college, that's a huge accomplishment. And, yeah, the slam where he went off the dribble and dunked over a couple people, that was pretty nice. The explosiveness was there. And he had a really nice block on a high floor as well.
Yeah, I think he had at least three blocks I saw tonight. But it's just a weird year. A couple weeks ago, Johnson and Springer was our offense.
Yep.
Springer still is to a certain extent, except for this last game before this one, when I don't know what was going on. But Victor Bailey disappeared now for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely our go-to guy. That one where they set that pick and wiped out Fulky cost him 3 points because he nailed that three.
Yeah.
And wiped it off, and we got nothing out of that trip, so that didn't help. Even though I know Vandy's been playing, you know, they played Alabama within four. They played Kentucky twice, winning once within three and once within four or five, whatever that was the other day. But, of course, their two probably best players didn't play.
Yeah, this was a JV Vanderbilt team. This was an awful team. Like, there was that awful stretch, Don, like over 4 minutes where neither team scored in the first half. It was pitiful.
Yes.
It was stuck on 17-15 for about four minutes.
Yep, sure did. But on the other hand, give them a little credit. They knew they couldn't penetrate. I think they only – I don't know what it ended at, but really late in the game, they'd only had 4 2-point baskets making. It all come outside.
They shot 33 threes tonight. Seemed like they hit more than 13, but, yeah, they scored 39 of their points from three-point range.
Yeah, it's just And, you know, like before the last game against Kentucky, they were showing where we were, you know, first in this, first in that, and said we were the number three in the conference against three-point shooting. And I'm like, how can that be when every time I see them play, the other teams hits 10 to 15 threes?
It does seem like teams are emphasizing it more than we are, for sure. I mean, like, you know, we shoot a lot of mid-range jumpers. That's what we
like. Yeah, this, you know, to me, unless you're getting layups, dunks, you might as well give it to Springer, give it to Bailey, give it to Viscovi. Just stand there and shoot threes like the other team does. Because still up enough, apparently they, you know, that's how they stayed in it, even though they were 13 for 33, which really is not a bad.
No, that's 39%. I mean, that's a good percentage. I mean, you know, 40% is elite, so they're right there as a team. That's really good. And, you know, they had a couple guys catch fire, especially in the second half. So of those 13 threes, I want to say, like, they probably had 8 or 9 of them in the, you know, in the second half, at least.
I think they had 6 at half.
Okay.
And then 7 in the second half. And luckily, they got a little cold at it that last 4 minutes, too. They were 12 for 30, so they ended up 13 for 33, so they only hit one of their last four.
That's good. Anything else for us, Don?
No, guys, I tell you, well, at least we can watch, or not watch, unfortunately, but we can just follow the baseball team.
Baseball team has been balling. You know, they almost outscored the basketball team in their last two games. So appreciate the phone call, Don. Have a good night, brother.
See you, man.
Yeah, the baseball team has been really, really good. I mean, I know the last two games they beat up on nobody, but
Arkansas, Pine Bluff.
Is that a terrible baseball program? I know sometimes.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I know sometimes the smaller schools can be, you know, solid, but
usually the midweek teams are shit.
Yeah, usually bad. But, you know, it's still hard to score as many runs as Tennessee has, but the offense has been clicking and the pitching staff has been pretty good. So maybe we're a baseball school. You know, it is nice, though. I was thinking, you know, I know we've been a little pessimistic just overall as a fan base lately, but it is nice to have all four of your teams right now ranked in the top 25. Men's and women's basketball, baseball, and softball all ranked right now. So I mean, that is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine there are many schools that can say that, right? Can't be more than like a handful that can say they're ranked in all four.
I'm trying to think. Maybe Alabama. I don't know if Alabama's women's are ranked basketball, but I know their softball team's usually pretty good, and their baseball team's usually pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know if their women's basketball team or not is either. Like, but I mean, like, if you're going toe to toe with Alabama, that's a pretty good thing. Like, if Alabama's doing it, again, to be ranked in all four, that's a pretty big accomplishment. I just feel the least amount of confidence in the basketball team, which is crazy. We're asked what we expect the rest of the way. I expect every game to be a sweat. When are they going to announce like the makeup dates for like Florida?
Well, I was looking at that earlier, John.
Well, tell me what you
found. I believe it's going to be Auburn on Saturday, right? Like we said. And then I think it's going to be Florida the following Saturday, because I think the midweek games are already spoken for. Like, I think Tennessee and South Carolina will not be rescheduled. Like, from the first meeting that was canceled due to COVID.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, if you look here, let's see.
By the way, Dylan Dissu is out for the rest of the season, already announced by Stackhouse. Scottie Pippen Jr. having an MRI tomorrow to check his hip. So, like I said, I didn't think either one of those guys would play the rest of the year. 865-546-8200 if you guys have any thoughts you want to get off your chest. I don't want to go too much longer about this Vanderbilt team that was playing a JV squad. Like, you guys watch the game. You know what Tennessee's offense looked like.
Yep.
Tennessee's defense, you know, did okay, but again, it's hard to judge off of this Vanderbilt team. A little worried that you couldn't stop, you know, their shooters when they got hot. You allowed them to kind of catch fire in the second half, but I mean, you had a cushion, so I'm not going to judge you there. Like, you know, I would imagine Tennessee players went into this game feeling like we were going to win. no matter what. Especially when they get the news that their two best players are out. So I'm not going to judge them harshly on that. This was a game I was hoping you could get healthy at offensively.
Mm-hmm.
But we, the only thing we experimented with was Drew Pember minutes. Drew Pember minutes.
He went 0 for 1 tonight. When did he shoot?
He missed a layup, I'm pretty sure.
Wide open?
I don't know if it was wide open or not, but I'm pretty sure he just missed a layup. I saw someone. Mm. I don't even know if I saw it, but I saw someone tweet about it.
Well, back to the schedule here real quick. We do play Auburn on Saturday, right? And then
the game Auburn versus on Saturday.
Florida was supposed to be the third, I believe, or the second. Well, Florida is now playing Missouri next Wednesday. And every other SEC team is – South Carolina's playing Arkansas on Tuesday. So they wouldn't make South Carolina play back-to-back. So that Saturday is going to be the makeup date, so I assume Tennessee and Florida will play then.
Okay. And that, you know, could be for a double bye in the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
Which Tennessee has any hopes of winning the SEC tournament. I think they need a double bye. Tennessee was 10 of 13 at the rim tonight, which Vanderbilt had already gone without a center. You know, Disu was – you know, kind of their center, and he didn't play, obviously. So Tennessee was 10 of 13 from the rim, 10 of 13 at the rim, 6 of 19 from 3. So I guess if we subtract what? Let's subtract 19 from 51. That gives us 32. And let's subtract 13 from that. So that gives us what, 19?
Mm-hmm.
Which Tennessee shot 19. We'll call them miss mid-range twos. 19 non-rim twos, so, I mean, they don't have to be mid-range, I guess, but.
Getting our average up.
19 of them, and that would have meant you would have hit what of them? You would have hit 7 of them? 7 of 19?
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm doing the math on what Tennessee shot tonight. They shot 6 of 19 from 3. They shot 10 of 13 at the rim. So I was doing the math to get the non-rim twos, okay. And I think I came out with 7 of 19. Which is what you need to cut off on. Like, those are the worst shots in basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, Tennessee shouldn't be shooting 19 of them. And you only hit 7 of them. That's why your offense looks like shit. That's what
like
I was doing.
38%? Is that right?
I mean,
something like that?
I'm not going to argue with you. You're the math guy over here. All right, let's go back to the
37%.
Let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotline. So, we got next?
Warning Stripes.
Warning Stripes. Ah, nice to hear from you, brother.
What's going on,
John? What's going on, man? Good to hear from you.
Can we never get Philly and Bear to mention that we need a Knox Catholic basketball player to come to Tennessee?
I mean, was this just trying to, like, be nice to the local kid? Are we trying to keep our ties with Bobby Mays? Like, because, I mean, like, was it Pember on Bobby Mays' like, AAU team? Was it that a thing, too? Like, yeah, we don't maybe need to recruit any of these local kids anymore if this is what it's going to look like.
I'm not even talking about Pember. I'm talking about the Odusupe kid. He's the last kid off the bench for Vandy. It has three players missing already.
Did he
not get any minutes?
Or whatever? Oh, yeah, Pember was a
Bearden
kid.
I think he got like two.
Yeah, Bearden was a Bearden kid. Sorry to that.
Yeah. Yeah, Odusupe he had two fouls, one turnover.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I didn't even notice that.
I forgot about that.
I kept looking for him. I thought, hey, maybe at least Fulke can get going if he comes in. But he wasn't in long enough even for Fulke to get going. As bad as Fulke's been this year.
You were hoping Adesupe could get our guys going, but, yeah, it wasn't in long enough to do it.
It's frustrating. Also frustrating when you see three guys on Twitter out and you decide to go place a bet for minus 12.5 on Tennessee.
Oof, yeah. F's in the chat. For one in stripes for getting caught by the hook. F's in the
bad
chat.
Night.
Especially when bad Tennessee night. Comes out in the second half and gets up 15. You're like, okay, this team's terrible. You should just take care of business. And nope. Vanderbilt got just hot enough from three to give you a little bit of a sweat and then take your money.
Yeah. In a little chat group there and like, yeah, Tennessee, Pond's going to hit his free throws and Vandy's not even going to. We're going to give up a cheap layup, and sure enough, it happened.
That's what happened.
Great, great way to end the night.
F's in the chat.
Y'all have a good
appreciate the phone call, Warning Stripes. As if that 2 hours of basketball wasn't bad enough to get beat at the, you know, the last minute on your bet. Pretty tough. Pretty tough.
That is a good point about Knoxville kids, though. Everybody's really talking about how we should have got Quez Glover instead of Pember, and Glover sucks too. So
Glover did bust our ass when we played him at Florida, though, right?
That's like, his one good game.
Well, yeah, like 9 points, though, right? I'm just saying, like, that's the only thing
bench.
He's done. Well,
a Florida team that sucks.
Yeah, no, I know. Wes tweets in, Pember got pushed out of the way, and Vandy got an offensive rebound, went right back up and scored over him. He missed a slightly contested layup, then Vandy nailed a three over him. That was the minute.
Right his face.
Yeah. Robbie writes back in, 7 of 19 from mid-range. He rests his case from his call. Like I said, that's just quick math. Those are just the non-rim two-pointers we shot. My math says 7 of 19. Again, you can classify them however you want in terms of a mid-range or not, but 7 of 19 from non-rim two-pointers, the worst shot in basketball. We shot 19 of them. That's not good, especially against a team that had no rim protection. Like, they had nobody that you could be affected by at the rim, as evidenced by Tennessee going 10 of 13 at the rim. It was a layup line. It was a dunk line. Like, they had nobody to challenge you. Yet, for some reason, we still settled for 19 other two-pointers.
And I feel like when we were doing it with Grant and Abram, then they were at least shooting over 50% from the mid-range.
Yeah, like, well, Grant, yeah. Well, that was the thing. They were an anomaly in terms of how good they were and efficient they were while shooting twos. Like, Jordan Bone was good at that, too. Jordan Bowden as well. Like, all those guys, pretty good mid-range shooters. And, like, you could dump the ball into Grant the post. And, like, he would either get you a foul, which, you know, are valuable to get other guys in foul trouble and get into the, you know, the bonus early. But Grant also had some post moves. Like, Tennessee doesn't have any post moves. Her best post player is probably Keon Johnson. Am I wrong? Or Springer, like one of them. Like, I don't know whose numbers are better.
As far as just back-to-the-basket basketball,
Just get down there on the block, pump fake. You know, they have good drop sets. They have good pivots around, you know, around defenders. Like, that's the best thing we got down in the post are our two freshman guards. 865-546-8200, the G3 Help Me hotlines are open. We hit our over. You said three calls. You said two calls, right?
Yeah.
We've had at least four. We've hit our over there. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Well, Hayden, any more thoughts? We'll give a couple more minutes of phone calls in case anyone wants to hop in. Last call for phone calls.
I feel vindicated for my take a few weeks ago that Arkansas was a team that I did not want to see in the SEC tournament.
Okay.
They look pretty damn good tonight.
You win some, you lose some, because I feel like you've lost the Kumwa versus Urosh take. Like, that one's dead.
Well, we just don't get to see Urosh.
I think there's a reason we don't see Urosh.
I mean, I'm not
confident. We saw Pember over Urosh, okay?
Well.
We saw Pember over Urosh.
I'm not that confident in Barnes' talent.
So you're not taking the L on that, okay?
Well, I mean, I think it's just undecided.
I mean, Arkansas is heating up. Like, once Alabama
won eight in a row.
That's what I'm saying. Once Alabama beat the hell out of them, Alabama baptized them a couple, you know, like what? I guess a month ago?
Yeah.
Because that's their last loss, right?
Last SEC loss. They did technically.
Okay, okay.
They're not on an eight-game win streak.
They're on an eight-game SEC win streak.
Yeah, they lost in the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Who did they lose to, Oklahoma State, or who did they play?
Yes, Oklahoma State, I believe. You're right.
Yeah, they only lost by four in that game, but yeah. Ever since you know, they got beat down by LSU, then beat down by Alabama, and then, yeah, since then, have reeled off eight straight conference wins.
It seems like they're playing a lot different, too. I mean, when they came into Knoxville, that big goofy white kid was kind of the focal point of their interior game, and he doesn't really seem like he's getting many touches anymore.
Well, you know, Musselman's a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
Musselman is a hell of a coach, and you knew that coming in, like when he's coming from Nevada, that he would get them playing better than they had been, like to take them kind of the next level. And, you know, they're, you know, firmly in the tournament. That was their – it's still crazy, that stat. That was their first ranked matchup in Bud Walton Arena since 1998. So that was that literally the biggest home game they've played in the last 20 years, basically?
I really don't understand how that could be a stat, because I know that they were ranked when Bobby Portis was there. Were they not? I thought they were pretty good then.
I don't know. I know forever – like, what they would do is they would be, like, really good in the non-conference, but they'd also not be playing anybody.
Yeah.
So they'd come in like with a really good record, but then they wouldn't have the actual wins to back it up. No, like, you know, the quality wins to back it up.
They could have been ranked with Portis, but just like the SEC has just not been great, I mean, yeah, historically. And they were talking about that tonight. The SEC is going to have 21 bids over the last three tournaments. That's like a record, I think.
Say that one more time.
I think they're going to have 21 bids over the last three tournaments. I think they had seven, or I think they had seven, eight, and then they're going to have six this time as it stands right now from as far as teams in the tournament.
Gotcha.
And that's the record for a three-year stretch.
JD writes in asking who we think our worst mid-range shooter is. He says he feels like Bailey and Springer hit 50% of theirs. I think Bailey and Springer hit a lot of theirs early in the season, but I think the last time I saw the updated stats, I want to say both those guys were actually under 50%. The eye test tells me Victor Bailey is our best mid-range shooter. Like, I don't know.
Did he say best or worst?
Yeah. He asked who our worst was, but then okay. I think he went on to say that those two guys he thinks were our best. I mean, our worst mid-range shooter, hell, it might be Josiah.
That's what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Josiah don't shoot a lot of them, but like, I don't feel like he shoots very good when he does.
I feel like he has kind of a flat mid-range shot.
Yeah, he does.
Like,
he does.
A shot put.
He does for sure. He does this for sure. Like I said, I think it would be Bailey if I was as our best. Our worst, my pick would be Josiah, but I'm trying to see if I could find that from that Stats by Will piece. Because, like I said, I saw a breakdown of that. We don't have anybody on the phone lines, right?
Nope.
We're good? Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I don't see the actual numbers. Okay. Well, final thoughts? I'll try to get that for Talk Sports tomorrow. I'll track that down from Will, and I'll have that number for you. Statsbywill.com did a great job, great piece on the mid-range jumper in Tennessee's propensity for it. So, like I said, I'll get that. I'll track that down for you in the morning, JD. Final thoughts, Aiden? I mean, shit game.
Shit game, boring game, and like you're right. I mean, we're going to be sweating out every game, and even the first round of the tournament, no matter who it is. I think if we rattle a few wins here at the end, and people lose, we go to a 4 seed. That 4-13 game is going to be close, especially if they can shoot threes, and we could be going home in the first round. I don't see us making it to the Sweet 16. There's no way.
Well, I won't say there's no way, but I also
unless there's an upset on the other in the other part of the grouping of the first round, I think that we could get through then. But I don't see Tennessee playing three solid games in a row.
Jordan points out earlier from your conversation, by the way, that Alabama got beat by UT Martin today in baseball.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, I want to say it was like 9-4 or 9-2, something like that. I saw that. Yeah,
good win.
Shout out to the Skyhawks. Cool! My Hawks took care of the Celtics. Good night for Hawks. Good night for Hawks. All right, we'll kick off 13 hours of programming tomorrow, 7 a.m. with 3 and Out. Hayden and I every day talk sports 12 to 3. Appreciate the phone calls. Appreciate the tweets. Appreciate the listens. Podcast going up now. Appreciate White Claw, Cherokee Distributing, and, of course, the G3 Help Me Hotlines. G3HelpMe.com. All right, Hayden, take us out. Appreciate it.